Right now, the state actually requires testing of all of our local surface waters for levels of E. coli. So this is part of the EPA standards for water safety. And so as a microbiologist, our group that worked on this study, we thought, well, that's sort of an interesting way to gauge water safety, since most E. coli is not necessarily pathogenic. It doesn't cause disease in humans. And as a matter of fact, most E. coli is actually good for us. So what we wanted to do was actually go and look at the individual E. coli that are in the water system, in addition to the whole bacterial community in the waters, to see if we have the potential for actual human pathogens.
And so tell me a little bit about your process.
All right. So we just collect water samples. This was done through some collaborative efforts with both East Dakota and West Dakota Water Development District. And they just sent samples to our lab, and we just filter out the bacteria. And then we can do some fancy molecular testing to look for particular genes or sequences of DNA that are more associated with the pathogens.
Okay, so you're looking more at things that can harm humans, correct? Is that a simpler
right.
way to do that, say that?
Yes, for sure.
Okay, and so for 2 years you got these water samples. How often?
They were usually monthly. We collected a little more frequently during the summer months because those tend to be the highest recreational use months. And they also tend to be just the higher total load of E. coli months. So we did about every 2 weeks during the summer.
So we're talking Rapid Creek and the Big Sioux.
Correct. And then a little tributary of the Big Sioux called Skunk Creek.
Okay. And so tell me what you found.
Well, what we found was interesting. Not all of the E. coli that we looked at were those benign or even helpful E. coli. We did find some potential for some dangerous bacteria in all of the waterways that we tested.
Okay, and so what does that mean? What does that mean for me if I like to kayak down the Big Sioux?
Right, so it just means that you need to be a little more aware that there is potential for you to get sick. It's most likely that you're not going to. I mean, plenty of people use these bodies of water recreationally and don't come home sick. But I think increased awareness is the main thing, and then you definitely want to wash your hands before you would eat anything. So if you take a little break when you're kayaking and have a snack, you're definitely going to want to wash your hands to prevent ingestion of those bacteria just from touching your hands to the food.
So where do you think this bacteria is coming from? Do we know?
So E. coli is a natural gut bacteria of most mammals. So E. coli in general comes from humans, cows, birds, pigs. So that's sort of the interesting part of this study, is that it's not any particular species that's contributing more E. coli to the system, but the problem is, the interesting thing is that it is the mixture of these E. coli from different species that maybe previously hadn't come together in the same area. So we get the potential for this genetic exchange across E. coli that originated from various animals.
So it's not just people swimming in the water and going to the bathroom while they're in there.
Absolutely not. It is mostly coming from wastewater treatment plants, from surface water runoff. There is some direct fecal input from local agricultural practices, but like I said, it's not just one particular source that makes this problem bad. The problem comes from that these bacteria are allowed to mix and share their genes amongst the population.
So the water itself doesn't dilute this at all?
It can. There is definitely a dilution factor, but E. coli tends to sink to the bottom, where they can multiply in the sediment. So there is some, you know, growing going on in the sediments, and then any event like a huge rainstorm or something can stir up those sediments and redistribute them downstream.
So your technique is a different way of looking at this all. Is that correct?
Right. So the current technique is just counting E. coli. So what we're doing is going and looking to see, are there traits that belong to the pathogenic E. coli? Are they present at all within the water body? So the second part of the study that we actually did, after we established presence of a few of these traits, was to look and see if they're being carried in tandem by single organisms. And that's important because a single bacteria can pick up all of these different traits from their nearest neighbors. And if they combine them together in one organism, that's when we get those really bad bugs, those outbreaks that we hear about in the news. So the second part of this study really addressed that. And we did find that there were, in fact, E. coli that carry multiple genes that make them dangerous to humans.
So that's in there, too?
Yes. So we don't know at what levels, though. So we just know it's there. It could be at very, very low levels, below maybe infectious doses. But that would be the next step, is to start quantifying and determining the proportion of the non-dangerous bacteria to the dangerous ones.
So what is next for you in studying this?
So I think the next major step would be to see if there's a clinical link, to see if people that show up with E. coli infections at the clinic or the hospital are carrying agents that they may have picked up from using the water. So we are hoping to work with the Department of Health here in the state of South Dakota, because we do have one of the highest rates of Shigatoxigenic E. coli infection, so that's just one of those really bad E. coli bugs in the country. So if we can start identifying that maybe the water is a potential source of these infections, then we could sort of think about mitigating that problem.
And there really isn't a difference between east or west in the water?
So there is nuanced differences between them. The major genes that contribute to the bad bugs are found in both water systems. We don't know the levels of them, though, in either water system. And then the sort of accessory genes that come along, they vary between the water bodies. So there is some geographical differences there.
And are you going to continue testing the water or just move on to the next clinical kind of look at things?
We're hoping to still continue to look at the water as well, because I think there are a lot of unanswered questions, you know, mostly being what are the levels of these things? Because the tests that we performed up to this point have only addressed whether they're there or not. So that would be a really important step in helping to understand the potential risk.
Okay. Kelsey, I would love to talk with you again and get some updates as you continue to move through and study this.
Yeah, that would be wonderful.
All right. I want to thank you for taking time. I appreciate it.
No, thank you. Have a great afternoon.